Thank you, Malcolm. It's good to see everyone. Thank you for making it this afternoon. So guided by some of the questions Malcolm raised, the current state of knowledge, and this overwhelming feeling that capacity building perhaps is immeasurable, I will take you through some of the overarching questions we asked and some of the ways we tried to answer them, which culminated in the development of a new methodology to measure organizational development, which we have spent the last 2 years using and applying in Ethiopia. So we were guided by three questions. Firstly, who is interested? Which stakeholders actually want a better measure of organizational development? Secondly, how do we actually measure it? And if we decide that it is measurable and we would like to measure it in a more robust way, how can it actually be quantified? So I'll put measurement into context, both the programmatic context and the financial context that these organizational assessments are situated within. I'll talk a little bit about why measurement is important, and then step you through the process we used to measure organizational development. So we were working with civil society organizations who function with a range of inputs, whether that's funding from a donor, their own staff members, their own systems or buildings. These inputs underpin organizational processes, which allow a CSO to deliver services to a community in the form of program outputs, and over time we hope to see changes in the health outcomes of beneficiary populations. As you see in this logic model, the outcomes we were most interested in were those of orphans and vulnerable children. However, our methodology can be used with CSOs serving a range of populations. And indeed, most of our partners in Ethiopia not only implemented programs for vulnerable children, but also implemented programs across the health and development spectrum for a range of populations. And what we're really trying to measure in this logic model are organizational processes. And this gives us a wonderful opportunity to ask, what are the organizational level bottlenecks that underpin service delivery and health outcomes in local communities? If we now think about where these CSOs are situated in perhaps a more global context, we see that there are three clear actors here. We have civil society organizations, we have international non-governmental organizations, and we have donors. And we're all familiar with this flow of funding which goes from donors to NGOs to civil society organizations. And if we think about how capacity building flows, it most often flows from international NGOs to civil society NGOs, and Malcolm touched on this in his presentation too. And I'm sure everyone in this room is very familiar with the reporting requirements financially for donors, the tables that need to be filled in, and the reports that need to be submitted. Our question today is really, what are the analytics, what are the reporting requirements, and what is the accountability around the red arrow that you see on this slide, the arrow that represents capacity building? And this methodology really lets us, hopefully, ask that question. How can we measure and understand the effect of technical assistance provided to civil society organizations over time, provided to these organizations by international organizations, but also technical assistance interventions that CSOs implement internally, because resources are often limited and sometimes the ability to have external capacity can be limited. So this methodology, we hope, sheds light on both of these questions. These stakeholders definitely have common interests. They're interested in a measure of organizational development to benchmark, to understand today, on Thursday, what is the capacity of our organization? They're interested in a measure of improvement. If we assess this year and come back next year, what's actually shifted? And they're also interested in a measure of comparison. If we look across CSOs in a country, how is capacity similar and how is it different? And the common aim here and the common goal of providing technical assistance is for improved service delivery and beneficiary health outcomes. It's also important to note here that these three goals can be used differently. The stakeholders I've described may want better measures of organizational development for different reasons. A CSO might want to decide where to target limited resources and limited time, which aspect of their organization should they focus on next. an international organization may be interested in knowing if they have a pool of CSOs that they're providing both funding and technical assistance to, who they should provide which capacity building interventions for, and donors may be interested in comparing across the sector of CSOs to understand who they should fund, how much they should fund them for, and to try and grapple with this bigger question of social return on investment. So our work, as Malcolm described, began in India and then moved to Ethiopia. And I'll try and step you through some of the key considerations we grappled with as we tried to develop a methodology to measure organizational development. And these key considerations really sit at the level of the individual CSO, but also begin to ask questions about the whole sector of civil society organizations in a country. We were working with a sample of organizations that were incredibly dynamic, where a project that people received in 2012 may or may not exist in 2013. And this had phenomenal implications for the organization's capacity. Our solution, or our way to capture this, was to develop an assessment methodology that was longitudinal, that could be applied and reapplied over time to really understand how the dynamic nature of CSOs affected capacity. We were working with multi-sited NGOs, organizations that had a head office in Addis Ababa in the capital, but that worked both at the regional and the sub-regional level across the country. To address this, we built this idea of parallel assessments into our method, so conducting organizational assessments both at the head office level as well as the level of the branch offices. Multiple voices, we believed, was incredibly important. We felt that it was impossible to assess the civil society organization by speaking solely to the executive director or to the board director. And to counter this and to engage staff, we took a very large and very diverse staff sample. We also believe that capacity building and organizational assessment is a conversation, and by conducting assessments, you already begin this conversation before any interventions perhaps are designed and delivered. And in order to make our methodology action-oriented, we felt it was important to make sure each of the indicators we were assessing led to very specific, very actionable recommendations. And so a report was generated, which the NGOs received, which the INGOs that were providing technical assistance received. And we also conducted workshops that brought civil society organizations together to discuss common and not common strengths and weaknesses. Reliability obviously is a key issue. My assessment of what good means could be very different from yours, which could be very different from yours. And so we definitely needed a methodology that minimized user bias, that took the onus of interpretation away from the user and used very, very specific, very measurable indicators. And finally, the biggest piece of feedback we had as we were developing this from our partners in Ethiopia was that it wasn't just one measure of capacity that was of interest to them as directors or as members of the leadership of a civil society organization. It was the measure of change. It was them wanting to understand if they had an assessment of their capacity and they acted to change their capacity, what did that do? What effect did that have? And so we embedded reassessment, which links back to my earlier point about longitudinal assessment, very heavily into our methodology. And so this brings us to the last and perhaps the most important question. If we decide that we want to measure it, if we've shown that we can measure organizational development, how do we go about attempting to quantify it? So we developed a tool called MODE, Measuring Organizational Development and Effectiveness. We used the peer-reviewed and the grey literature, as well as our lessons in India from conducting workshops, from working very closely with civil society organizations, and from the capacity-building experiences of our partners in Ethiopia to develop 11 organizational domains. And our goal now is really to try and measure capacity across these 11 domains. So if we take the example of strategic planning, we asked, what are the key sub-areas in strategic planning? If we had to go and understand capacity for strategic planning in a CSO, how would we do it? We came up with three key areas: a strategic framework, so asking, has the CSO started to think strategically? A strategic plan development, if they have started to think strategically, have they embedded the strategic thinking into an actual strategic plan? How did they do it? What does the plan look like? And finally, if they do have a strategic plan, are they using it? Is it in somebody's drawer gathering dust, or is it being used? Is it being used to talk to external stakeholders? Has it been shared with the staff? And are they actually measuring progress against the strategic plan? And as you'll see here, our challenge really was to capture the organization that perhaps started last year and is just beginning to think strategically and develop a long-term vision, but also capture the organization that has existed for 10 years, for 15 years, for 20 years, as many of our partners in Ethiopia had, and have had years to think strategically and to develop a strategic trajectory for their organization. So what we did with these sub-areas was we ascribed scores to each of these areas. These scores were aggregated to yield a total domain level score, which is some descriptor of the type and the nature of capacity for strategic planning. And what's most important is we developed specific indicators to capture each of these sub areas. And as you'll see, we begin by asking very generally, is there a strategic framework? We then talk very specifically about the strategic plan, and then we look at how the plan is being used. How did we collect this data? We talked to all staff. If you look at G, it says percentage of staff involved in developing the strategic plan. Every single staff member was asked about the level and the nature of their involvement in developing the plan. We also looked at documents. It wasn't enough for the organization to say, yes, we have a plan. We asked them if we could review the plan and went through a physical copy of the strategic plan to score this domain. And this was the way we worked and worked across these 11 areas. So if we actually had to use this assessment, what would it look like? The mode can be used cross-sectionally or longitudinally. Obviously, we prefer longitudinally. It takes about 3 hours, so half a day in an NGO. We had two evaluators working with it and conducting it. It includes all staff, and it includes key informant interviews with the executive director, the data manager, the human resource manager, and the finance manager. And it really is a mixed methods approach to measuring and understanding organizational development. We specifically used three data collection instruments, and the data collected through these instruments was used to populate the table that I just showed you, and it was used to generate domain-level scores for organizational development. So our first instrument really was an organizational profile. It was descriptive information about the CSO. How long had they existed? What kinds of grants had they received? What populations were they serving? And it also captured a measure of the kinds and quantity of capacity-building interventions they had received in the past few years. We also used the interview and document review, which was the bulk of the assessment time, asking questions about each of those 11 domains and asking to see in physical, hard or soft copy the relevant policy, procedure, plan or document that came with that. And this comes back to this idea of needing to objectively verify every question we ask and changing the nature of the conversation around capacity building. And finally, we used a staff survey. This was translated to Amharic. It was handed out to every single member of staff who was on site that day, from the janitor to the executive director. Everybody was asked for their opinions, and as we handed this out, we really emphasized that this was a way to understand and get at the core strengths and the core challenges the organization was facing at that point in time. And these three instruments came together to enable the measures that I've already shown you. And in practice, this is my colleague working with some of the staff and volunteers in a Kabele in northern Ethiopia to complete the surveys. This is an NGO that had collected a lot of their reports and documents and policies for review and for discussion. We did a lot of physical observation in the office space to understand how the organization communicated with beneficiaries and how they communicated with their own staff members. We also looked very closely at the data systems in the organization. How was data coming in? How is it being stored? How is it being entered into the computer? And how is it being used by the organization? And so all of this really comes together in perhaps a different case or a new case for organizational development. Malcolm's already touched on this in his presentation, but once we agree that organizational assessment is important, it needs to then be the basis for action. And the way action can be validated or checked is through reassessment. And this is really the case that we are trying to build. I've talked you through how we try to answer some of the challenges and questions associated with this, but we're still left with this question of what is good measurement? Have we achieved it? How far off are we? What's left to be done? How have other people done it in the past? Which Joanna will talk about in a second. And we're also left with the most important question, which is what data was this tool able to generate in Ethiopia? And how has this data been used by our partners and our colleagues in Ethiopia, which Elizabeth will touch on in her presentation after Joanna. So thank you for listening, and I'd like to hand over to Joanna.